Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for April 15th, 2011.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
A lot of us are very self-conscious about our musical abilities, or we feel that we're not very strong musically, but actually, when you really look at it at the most basic level, like just finding the regular pulse, you know, just being able to clap your hands, most people have it.
We found more activity in the brain regions that are involved in processing visual information in autistics.
Depending on the kind of prisoner that you are, you're anywhere between 2 and 6 times as likely to be released immediately after a break than immediately before.
This week, do verdicts come out differently depending on whether the judge has eaten? We'll tell you how autistics handle visual information differently than others, and about the first reported case of beet deafness. But first, Suzanne Bard reports on a mouth-watering hormone.
Our ability to smell is heightened when we're hungry. This makes evolutionary sense, because a good sense of smell helped our ancestors sniff out calories and avoid famine. Now researchers think a hormone called ghrelin, which is already known to increase appetite, makes us use our noses more. University of Cincinnati endocrinologist Jenny Tong and her colleagues gave the hormone to rats, causing them to sniff more frequently than usual. Then they gave ghrelin to people and had them smell 5 different odors.
So we basically present the scent in a canister and we put them under their nose and we ask them to take a sniff like they normally sample perfume. And when they received ghrelin, they sniffed harder as compared to the time when they received just saline salt solution.
In the future, she says ghrelin could help older people retain their sense of smell, leading to better nutrition, and blocking the hormone could combat obesity.
One can speculate that maybe if you block the signal of ghrelin, that can prevent overeating.
By making high-calorie foods less appealing.
Thanks, Suzanne. As the workday goes on, a little break can help anybody refocus and feel better. But what if that feeling can determine someone else's fate? Science reporter Justin Warner tells us why prisoners may be somewhat at the mercy of a judge's snack schedule.
There's an old legal saying that justice is what the judge ate for breakfast. And there may be some truth to it, according to marketing professor Jonathan Lavav of the Columbia University Business School. He and his colleagues at Ben-Gurion University in Israel studied over 1,000 rulings by 8 Israeli parole board judges over a 50-day period. The judges heard an average of 23 cases a day, broken up by a morning snack and lunch. From the start of the day to the first break, the chance of a favorable ruling dropped with each successive case. But after the break, the trend reset itself.
And then what you find is the first decision after the meal break tends to favor the prisoner, and then there's a downward trend until the next meal break, and then it pops back up, and then there tends to be a downward trend again. So it seems like the likelihood of a favorable release depends on both when the prisoner appeared before a judge and when the judge paused to have a meal break.
In fact, the advantage of seeing the judge fresh from a break was surprisingly significant.
Depending on the kind of prisoner that you are, you're anywhere between 2 and 6 times as likely to be released immediately after a break than immediately before.
Neither the exact break times nor the order in which the prisoners were heard was determined in advance. What's more, the judges didn't know the details of upcoming cases, even on the same day, and the prisoners' lawyers had no way to know where they were in the lineup. But could the judges' decisions really depend on how recently they took a break? Lavav says that past research does make it plausible.
Making a lot of decisions in a row makes people tired, and as a result, they look for ways to simplify the decision that they're making. So for instance, they go with the status quo. They say, you know what? I can't decide. Let me go with what's there already. In the case of the prisoners, the status quo means staying in prison.
Decision-making can also be impaired by a drop in blood sugar, which is corrected by eating. In the judge's case, it's not clear whether the rest, food, or both are responsible for the effect. And the jury's also still out on whether the judges are being too lenient after their breaks or too harsh before them.
Thanks, Justin. People with autism have difficulty interpreting social cues, but often have unusual strengths in other areas. One of them is visual processing. Autistic people often excel at certain visual tasks, like finding a small figure in a busy background. Now, researchers at the University of Montreal may have found a clue as to why. Laurent Motron and his colleagues analyzed 26 autism studies that combined brain scans with all sorts of visual challenges. Co-author Fabienne Samson says that during the tasks, the autistic subjects' visual processing centers were more active than those of non-autistics.
Non-autistics showed more activity in the regions that are associated with more higher function like reasoning and planning and controlling our thoughts and actions.
That was true whether the autistic subject scored better, worse, or the same as non-autistics on the tasks themselves. The result suggests that autistic people use their brains in a different way to tackle visual problems. Next, many people complain that they're tone-deaf, unable to carry a tune. Researchers have now identified a similar disorder, beat deafness. Suzanne has that story.
Cognitive scientists Jessica Phillips-Silver and Isabelle Peretz of the International Laboratory for Brain, Music, and Sound Research in Montreal have documented the first known case of beat deafness. They used motion capture devices and music videos to confirm that a young man named Mathieu is unable to synchronize his body movements to music or to recognize when someone else is doing so. In contrast, Phillips-Silver says just about everyone feels the beat in music, even young babies.
A lot of us are very self-conscious about our musical abilities, or we feel that we're not very strong musically. But actually, when you really look at it at the most basic level, like just finding the regular pulse, you know, just being able to clap your hands, most people have it.
She says they're now studying the neurobiology of the condition, and they're searching for other people who might also be lacking in rhythm.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you about a new barcoding system for zebras and how a new ink-like spray could be used to both detect and neutralize explosives. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.